And now would you all please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, O God, may it all be pleasing to you, you who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we're in this season of Lent. This season which leads, of course, up to Easter, right? But the funny thing is, Lent is not in the Bible. It's not in Scripture. It actually comes from the old Saxon word meaning spring. So during this time of year, many spiritual traditions, not just our Christianity, but others like the shamans and this people who worship the spring equinox, people are eager to move from this time of recognizing death and moving into new life. I mean, we see it in nature all around us. The leaves have died off the trees in the fall, and now you can see little buds starting on the tree limbs. The daffodils are starting to come up. They are rising up with spring, but they too will eventually die. But right now, we get to enjoy them springing up. All around us, there is death. But as humans, we tend to shy away from death. We're afraid of it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want funeral and memorial services anymore. I'm seeing an increase in people who've passed away saying, nope, do not have a funeral or memorial service. But we see death all the time. And it's not just in the losing of friends and beloved pets, but death is how we also personally grow. We cannot grow personally and spiritually without the dying of old beliefs, of old habits, of old ways of being. But still, as people, we shy away from death. We've forgotten that death is the central story of our faith. Christ has to die before there is resurrection. We must move through death and dying before we can celebrate new life, new possibilities. We must walk through the discomfort, through the burn, before we can experience something new. And to do this, to walk through this burn, through this death, through this discomfort, it takes courage. It takes courage to face the hard things in life, to face the challenges, to stand in that proverbial fire. Catherine Larson writes a beautiful haiku about this. She writes, "Can you show courage and stay in the fire until you find the blessing?" Can you show courage and stay in the fire until you find the blessing? Now, Stephen from our scripture this morning is one of the first deacons to ever been named in scripture. He stayed in the fire. He found the blessing. He showed courage. And we're told in our scripture that these deacons, they were full of wisdom and the Spirit. Stephen and his fellow deacons, they were appointed by the early church after Jesus' time. So let me set the scene for you. You know, Jesus came, lived, died, was resurrected, and now is gone. And the early church has been formed. So here's Stephen and these other deacons now who have been appointed for a special task. They are there to feed the widows. They have this one role, this one task, this one mission in the church. His job description is clear. You are to feed the widows, Stephen. But then he began to, and I quote, perform various wonders and signs, i.e., he loved God. Now, the people in the church community became very upset with him because he was doing work outside of his job description. You are to do this, Stephen. You are to feed the widows. But he started doing these signs, these wonders, these miracles. He was living out the gospel, just as Jesus did in his time. And you know what happened? People got angry. They came up with this opposition, just as they did with Jesus. They falsely accused Stephen, put him on trial, and then, as we heard, he was actually stoned to death. Stephen does these wonders, and people become afraid and upset. They accuse him. Meanwhile, Stephen here in our scripture, he stood firmly and courageously in that fire, in that burn, in the discomfort. And he hearkened back to Moses and Jacob and David and Jesus. He pointed to God and the Israelites. The people were confounded. They were stubborn. And during his trial, Stephen's face, they didn't even recognize it, because his face was as light as an angel's. God was working through Stephen. The people accused him, but he kept his eyes on God, and he even had a vision of Jesus being at the side of God. Stephen stood with courage in front of his attackers. In the same way that people refused to listen to Jesus during his ministry and they killed Jesus, Stephen faced the same consequence. And so he became the first Christian martyr. Stephen's story is a reflection of Christ's story. It's a story about standing up, of being courageous when things get heated, and knowing that we have to walk through it to get to the other side. There must be death before there can be new life. Now, Brené Brown, who many of you are, I'm sure, familiar with, the popular psychologist, she's done a lot of research on shame, vulnerability, and courage. And she tells of a time when she was doing some research at a military base with special ops forces. And she was sitting down with these soldiers, and she asked them, "Give me one example of courage that you've either seen or witnessed or done yourself, but did not require uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure, i.e. vulnerability." Can you think about that? Can you think of a time when you've either acted or seen an example of courageous behavior that did not require uncertainty, risk, or emotional exposure? Yeah. The soldiers, they were quiet too. One of the men then said, "Three tours, ma'am. There is no courage without vulnerability." And she was like, "Yeah, you're spot on. There is no courage without vulnerability, without being in the uncertainty, taking that risk, with that emotional exposure." Stephen showed courage, and he was vulnerable. He showed courage by living his faith and proclaiming his faith. And he was a vulnerable being, open to attacks by his fellow church members. Think of our moment. When have you been vulnerable to thus be courageous? Think about that. In a book that I'm currently reading, the author, she shares a story about some young birds learning how to fly. Now, one day she stumbled upon this large nest of baby blue herons. And she started to come there day after day, and the birds started to recognize her and let her be, and she let them be. And she watched the eggs which were laid in this nest and how they were tended to by the adult birds. She watched the young chicks eventually poke through the shells, maneuvering their way out of this shell little home into a vast new world. She watched these young birds as they were tended to, as they were brought food and cared for. And the birds, they grew as they do, and they changed from looking like fuzzy little messes of things into beautiful blue herons. And then finally, the day came, the author writes, when they had to learn how to fly. Now, she was surprised to learn that birds don't just instinctually know how to fly. They have to be taught. So she watched at the comedy of errors as the adult birds flew a little ways off, away from the nest, and the babies sat there staggering, trying to figure out what to do next. The baby birds courageously tried their wings, and they would jump and flap and try to fly and fail. But then they would try again and make it a little further, getting more and more courageous as they did. Then they began to play with their flight and learning how to land back in the nest, which apparently was very funny because they would miss time after time. Eventually, the baby birds learned how to fly, but they had to try, be courageous, be vulnerable, and fail. Just as we too had to learn how to walk. Now, most of us don't remember ourselves learning how to walk, but we've witnessed others learning how to walk. How many times you had to fall down and work hard at it to build that strength, build that coordination and that ability to learn the skill of walking. You, my friends, you're stronger than you know. You are more courageous than maybe you even believe. You each have been through hard times in this life. You've had to be vulnerable in those hard times. You've had to do so to make it through to the other side, to be courageous. And in the challenging times, in those hard times, that's the darkness. That's the example of death in our lives, which then produces new life. Maya Angelou says, one isn't necessarily born with courage, but one is born with potential. Without courage, we cannot practice any other virtue with consistency. We can't be kind, true, merciful, generous, or honest. So true. Courage is learned over and over again. And courage is also contagious. When you see someone being vulnerable, acting and standing up, it inspires us. Stephen is one of those inspirations of great courage. It's shined through our faith for 2,000 years. Today, my friends, we are called to be courageous, to take the challenge, to stand in the discomfort and be vulnerable and speak up about our faith. Now, I know it can be challenging to actually speak about our faith to strangers or to people we sort of know, that we don't want to be perceived as those crazy Christians or the Christian fanatics, right? It can be intimidating because we're afraid of how people might label us. For some, Christianity has gotten a bad rap. But we know better. We know different. We are called to be vulnerable, to be in that discomfort, and be in that old way that can then die off so new life can be born. Imagine it. What if we proclaimed our faith, which affirms and loves everyone, not despite, not regardless, but because of who God made us to be? What if we proclaimed that? What if we were courageous enough to stand up and share that with others, to share that love that we feel so that others can feel it as well? How might we reshape the view of Christianity and of a Christian? Why do you come to church? Is it for the great coffee? What do you value, my friends? Whatever it is that you value, that's the reason behind your actions. Our church, and many churches, all churches, they do great works. But so does the Rotary Club and other civic organizations. What makes the church different is the why we do great works. And that why is our triune God. A God who journeys with us through the burns of life, through the challenges, the discomforts, so that we can let go of all of that, so that we might grow and be transformed, be resurrected, so that we can take new life and fly. Today, my question for you is, how are you being called into a courageous act? How are you being called to be courageous? Maybe it is by inviting a friend or a neighbor to Easter in a couple of weeks and sharing your faith. Whatever it is, however God is calling you to be courageous, may it be so, and may you remember you are so much braver than you know. Thanks be to God. Amen.